Eagles Beakley.
It's the final regular season edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast. Yes, the Eagles Insider Podcast. I'm Chris McPherson, joined by Beau Wolf and Fran Duffy. Gentlemen, happy holidays to both of you.
I know you it's a little well.
Sort of.
Now, Ike Reese at the during the postgame show was very defiant when I offered him a Merry Christmas. He was like, how am I supposed to have a Merry Christmas? And it was true.
It's a valid point, man.
It was a very valid point. Not what any of us were expecting whatsoever. For me, watching the game here in the studios with Fran and Greg Cosell, Ike Reese, and the rest of our Eagles production crew, it just seemed like on that first drive, once you saw Ryan Kerrigan get around the edge, strip the ball out of Mark Sanchez's hand, you just had a feeling like, this is gonna be one of those games where it's just not gonna be easy. And even though time,
who thought it was gonna be easy? I mean, it's an NFC East game. Second time you play a team this season.
Okay, I wouldn't say easy, but the Eagles were setting themselves up to defeat themselves, I guess is what I'm saying. You weren't going to see a mistake-free game, so to speak. I wouldn't say
But when have we seen a mistake-free game from this team?
Dallas? Thanksgiving?
Okay.
Giants.
Dallas, they were like 1-for-5 in the red zone even then. Like,
I mean, no. They've been flawless. No, and that, I mean, that's going to get to the point of why this team
the Giants
is
going to
be on the outside
looking in. The shutout. That's the only mistake-free game they played.
You know, but by and large, you just had a feeling that, you know, they were going to get in their own way. And even though you get into the second half and they had the lead, you started to feel like, you know, Washington was making the mistakes that teams that are 3-11 start to make. Eagles were in a position. They got the fumble to start the second half. You said, all right, everything's set up beautifully. Get a touchdown here. They're up by 2 scores, even a field goal. Just, you know, start to put things away. And Cody Parkey, who's been Mr. Automatic all season long, pushes the kick wide. And then at that point, just everything seemed to go downhill. And so the Eagles lose.
But then they still could have won. And then they made another mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
It was mistake upon mistake upon mistake.
You say, you know, we can't be surprised by now. They lead the league in turnovers. And you can't do that. I mean, you can't expect to make the playoffs if you lead the league in turnovers. So, you know, they continue to do what they've done all season and make those mistakes, those crucial mistakes. They've tried to stop it, but they just can't do it. So that's why you find yourself on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I mean, Malcolm Jenkins sat right here in this chair last week, you know, a week ago today, and said the same exact thing, that, you know, they know that the issue was turnovers and creating them defensively, preventing them offensively, and it's been an issue that they were going to need to fix if they were going to take the next step, get into the playoffs, and go far. And they just weren't able to do it. It came back to bite them. All year we said how, you know, good teams find a way to win, and the Eagles were finding ways to win football games, you know, whether it was big plays on special teams, big plays on defense at opportune times, and it just, you know, the last month, it just hasn't happened.
The thing for me is, and Malcolm Jenkins saying that we need to fix the turnovers where you realize it, I've covered this team long enough that it seems like if there's an issue that's rearing its ugly head consistently by the time you hit October, November, December, you're going to see it all season long. It's not going to go away. I mean, some years it's red zone offense. Some years it's pass defense. So there's different things each year. This year, the theme was turnovers, and history has shown that teams with horrific turnover differential don't make the playoffs. And the Eagles were trying to buck that trend. They were on the verge of doing so, but it came up to cost them in the end.
I mean, it's frustrating because you look back on the season and one more win here or there. Well, I mean, I guess they would have needed 2 more wins now. But, you know, the San Francisco game, ball's in Riley Cooper's hands in the end zone. They lose. That could have been a touchdown. Arizona game, you got first and goal with a chance to win. Can't score. That's another loss. Dallas should have won that game. Washington should have won that game. So, you know, this team is good enough to make the playoffs. But in the grand scheme of things, like you're saying, when the full sample size of the season goes on, you can't lead the league in turnovers and expect to make the playoffs. That's just, I mean, you know, Chip Kelly, from the time he got here, has preached holding onto the ball and not turning the ball over. They couldn't do it this season, and then that's why we're here. So, you know, that's what happened. You just can't do that. And then defensive penalties, too, extending drives for the other team. Those are killers. So, You know, they really have nobody to blame but themselves.
I believe it's seven, right? It was seven third down penalties that resulted in first downs for the offense in the last two games between Dallas and Washington. And that, I mean, that's amazing. Just, you change that third down ratio from 33% to like over 50 when you do that. I mean, it's unbelievable. And, you know, it's tough to rebound from that.
That's why during the postgame show, I'm sitting there with Ike Reese, and I had a hard time trying to quantify how I felt about the defensive performance because the numbers across the board, for the most part, were pretty good.
Yeah,
it's not like Robert Griffin III had a spectacular day. He had really two big passes to DeSean Jackson. That obviously was
the real
big bugaboo. Alfred Morris really didn't get going, didn't caution the ground except for the one touchdown. You know, a couple times they were set by bad field position, weren't able to get him off the field or force field goals. But overall, it was really just the penalties that really seemed to cost the defense on this day.
I mean, 13 penalties in one game. I don't know what the numbers are, but I can't imagine that teams that have 13 penalties in a game win too often.
But what was interesting, and I was researching some of the numbers, is that Seattle and Denver, going into this weekend's game, were the top two teams in penalties called against. And you say to yourself, well, you know, obviously there's got to be something there. Maybe that's something that hurts them in the end. And even watching a little bit of the Seattle game on Sunday night, penalties were the one thing that kept the Cardinals in the game before they were just way too limited on offense and the Seahawks were able to get rolling on offense on their end.
I would say, too, that the amount of penalties aren't as big of the deal, I guess, now that I'm starting to think about it, because especially considering the – you know, the amount of plays that we try to run offensively, the amount of plays that, you know, on games where it doesn't go well for the offense, the amount of that the defense is on the field. If the defense is on the field for 90 plays, you're increasing the amount of opportunities for there to be penalties.
Sure.
It's really the time and place of those penalties. I mean, you know, it's
well, and the kind of penalty.
Right. You know? Well, yeah. I mean, it's third and eight inside the 25-yard line and we get a holding call away from the play and, you know, whether it's the ticky-tack roughing the passer or the roughing the passer that was justified, you know, the defensive pass interference down the field. I mean, those are the ones that kill you.
I don't feel like it's ticky-tack. One is you can't hit the helmet.
There was one that
one
was
of them
kind
was
that
was
pretty,
it was
that was
it
pretty
was ticky-tack,
tack.
But
the first one was the ticky-tack.
It's ticky-tack, but I mean, by the letter, if you're going letter of the law, it's touching the helmet. The one that you know, obviously the Vinnie Curry one at the end hurt because that really set the easy field goal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But go back to the first drive, the Kerry Williams one, where it was just away from the play.
No doubt.
Incomplete pass.
Yep.
All of a sudden, seconds later, you're like, what's going on? And then the camera luckily shows, at least from our end, I don't know what you're able to see, even though that's the worst press box view in the NFL. It's horrific.
The worst ever. I mean,
thank you for going there every year.
It's the worst stadium in the NFL. It's the worst food. It's like the whole experience is just... Just
it's
a
horrific.
Disaster.
Then this is the second week in a row, too, where we had a third and one or a third and short and jumped offside. Second week, I think it was Trent Cole last week against Dallas, and then it was Fletcher this week. And as dominant as Fletcher has been, you know, there was an untimely penalty.
I mean, there will be a time probably next week for us to look back on the season as a whole and talk about things we're happy with and Fletcher Cox and Michael Kendricks.
We'll do the whole offseason.
Yeah,
we'll do the whole
all that. But
and there's a lot. There's gonna be a lot to delve into.
Right now, it's just disappointment. That's all.
In the studio, it was it second half or was it second quarter or second half when I came in here in the same studio that we're filming this now, and I said I don't want anything to do with the off season. And I know, Fran, you're a big draft guy. You love the off season. Greg is great with the film study. He does a lot of his big projects off season. So I know you guys thrive in the off season. But to me, it was just so disheartening because you wait all year long.
Well, that's the thing, too.
For these 4 months. And it's like off season. It's like, you know, yeah, you get excited about the draft and new players and free agency and all the questions to be answered. I get that. But you live for the games.
No doubt.
And that, you know, I'm thinking a couple weeks ago, the Eagles are 9-3 on Thanksgiving. And you're starting to think playoffs. You're starting to think how far could this team really go? Is this team one of the elites? You're starting to have those dreams. You know, my uncle lives in Scottsdale. Am I going to be crashing with him for a couple of weeks, you know, some point January, February? You know, you're starting to have a little daydreams of that kind of stuff. And to be sitting here in week 17 going to this Giants game where you're playing for pride and to get to 10 wins and nothing more, it's extremely disappointing. And I think that's an understatement.
Yeah, I mean, that's you hit the nail on the head. It's the – and it is a shame because obviously – I love the offseason too for the reasons that you mentioned, but it is all for the games. It's all for the season.
Yeah,
so
it's a process. Yes.
It's sad to see it come to the end, especially where we were a few weeks ago.
It's just crazy to think 3 weeks ago if you would have said we're going to miss the playoffs. That would have been nuts.
Surreal. Absolutely surreal.
Yeah.
And to add to the hurt, now after the game, you know, I started thinking back to 2008 and the Eagles lost a week 16 game in Washington. You know, I'm trying to draw on past experience here. So back in 2008, the Eagles lost a disheartening, a devastating week 16 game in Washington. It was a 10-3 game where I think on the last play of the game, Reggie Brown could have scored the game tying touchdown, but came like a yard short of the end zone, if I recall. Bottom line is the Eagles controlled their playoff hopes. Now they needed a ton of help, not just a little bit of help, but a ton of help. But they got it, and that was the 44-6 game. Yep. They needed Tampa Bay. You know, that was the Jeff Garcia.
To home to Oakland.
Yeah, lose to Oakland. It was a Jeff Garcia, John Gruden's last year of coaching. Mm. They needed that to happen. They needed Houston, a losing team at the time, to beat Chicago.
That's right.
With Chicago had everything to play for, Houston had nothing to play for. It all came together for the Eagles. My fear, actually, going into that 4:30, the 4 o'clock game, the Eagles were the afternoon game with Dallas, was they're going to get the first two things happen, but then not capitalize on the third. Well, the Eagles smoked Dallas. It was one of the greatest games that I've had a chance to be a part of. Brian Dawkins was phenomenal. The defense just dominated. It was a brilliant day. It was a great euphoric day, and it sparked an amazing run all the way to the NFC title game. So I was like, you know what? There's still that glimmer of hope. There was still that chance Saturday night into Sunday.
I didn't have any hope.
I tried.
We had dinner reservations Sunday night, so I knew I wasn't going to be able to catch the whole game. And I watched the first quarter, and it was disheartening. Getting in the car and driving downtown, and knowing like
it was over.
It's over. Yeah.
I actually was attending a family party, and I knew they were going to have no TVs in the house.
What kind of place has no TVs in the house?
They have TVs, but they weren't watching the games. They're not sports fans, so
that's weird.
Not everybody's like Bull Wolf.
Sounds like a terrible party.
So I set my phone to get the alerts, and my phone is just like buzzing, and it's like 7-0, 14, and I think I threw my phone after 21-0, or just like, because you just knew at that point, like, all right.
I didn't really watch much football on Sunday, but I turned it on the game, and it was already 14-0, and I heard Nance and Sims start talking about Jason Garrett as coach of the year, and I didn't realize how furious I was until I heard that, and that was it. I was like, I just had to leave. It was disgusting.
We were out of dinner, and there was a TV at the bar. It was 100 feet away, and Meg kept asking me. She was like, Do you want to go check the score? And I was like, no, I don't want to check the score. And I said, if the Colts had found a way to come back, my phone would be vibrating like crazy in my pocket right now. Like it hasn't gone off. I'm just not gonna look.
No, you were gonna be in so much trouble.
Yeah,
that sounds like the date night. I got in trouble years ago for very similar things. So but it's just been worse since. So on Monday, haven't done any of my holiday shopping. My wife thankfully takes care of most of it. She's done all of her holiday shopping. I had a couple of things to get, so I'm running to the mall. I'm trying to get stuff done, and it's like the Cowboys fans are like coming out of the woodwork. I'm seeing guys, people with hats. One kiosk. I'm at Springfield Mall, just outside of Philly, and there's like a kiosk with like T-shirts, and there's like a Cowboys fan till the day I die. And I'm like, this is hell. Like, this is going to be absolute hell if they make noise in the playoffs. This is going to be the absolute worst.
Well, they're not going to make that much noise. They might win a game.
Still, just the longer.
They're
and the thing
going
is
to
like
Green Bay or Seattle and win a game.
Fine, but the thing is, ESPN. It's like now it's like they're just totally jumping on the Cowboys
because it's ratings.
Of course. But that's what I'm saying is the next as long as they're in it, we're going to be inundated with Cowboys this, Cowboys that, how great Dallas is, how great it's just.
Do you guys have a rooting interest for the playoffs now?
We were talking about this in the office actually yesterday. I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing Peyton win one.
C-Mac loves Peyton.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing Peyton win another.
I have a hard time seeing it though.
I would agree, especially after watching them last night. I don't know if I'd like to see Andrew Luck win one, but I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen either. After
if he'd helped us out on Sunday.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more.
I don't know, man.
Apple net. Yep.
It's a tough one. Because, you know, Green Rodgers has one. Russell Wilson has one. All these other teams, you look around, it's like, all right, you know, do we want to see Brady get another?
No.
I think I'd like to see. I think I would like to see Rodgers win another one.
He's the best
quarterback in the league. I think he deserves another one.
I'd be okay with that too.
I got home to watch Sunday night game, and I was hoping to see Arizona. Just that story, because every week I've sat here on the podcast, been like,
Fran would love a Logan Thomas Super Bowl MVP.
I'm walking off the set if he like leads them to the Super Bowl. I'm walking out. See ya.
Actually. You know, because it's just like they've just injuries they've overcome every week. Like, oh, they can't keep it up. They can't keep it up. I'm like, if they can keep it up against Seattle with how well Seattle's playing, I'm like,
I'd be down for the Panthers to win the Super Bowl.
Mm. You just want whoever finished seven wins.
Donkey whomped them on Monday Night Football. I'll take that.
Actually, let's go back to the end of the game. End of the game, real quick, Fran. What were you going to do if the Eagles had converted that Hail Mary? You forget.
Oh man, what did I?
You made a promise.
That's right.
As they set up for that Hail Mary, you were like,
"Are you gonna do the podcast naked?"
No, it was probably worse actually. Depending on your point of view,
you were gonna. if Riley Cooper came down with it, you would have Coopertunity tattooed on.
That's right. I did say that. I would get the Coopertunity tattoo on my lower back if he came down with the Hail Mary. I mean, it would have been worthwhile. What's that?
What if it was Ertz?
It was just
no deal. I mean, I was very specific.
Okay.
Yeah. He already had two touchdowns, so it wouldn't have been out of the question for it. So
I forgot about
White
that.
White man can't jump.
I'm sure you forgot.
I'm blacked out. I don't
blame you one iota for putting that in the rear.
We're sitting there, or the show's getting ready to start. You know, we had the volume down, like lights were on, we're ready to start, and I that's right. I do remember.
Now it's coming. Yeah. That's fuzzy.
I disagree.
Yeah. Yeah. Not my proudest moment.
So, on the site Tuesday morning, finally posted your Eagle Eye. Apologies for the delay that. Again, did the holiday shopping. Tried to watch a little of the game last night on Monday night. You did highlight some great individual performances. And I think that's the one thing that no one's going to want to really hear about, obviously, because the team lost. But
it was tough to write about.
And I'm sure it was tough to write about. But there were some really, really good individual outings. Obviously, Zach Ertz just numerically with the 15 catches, a franchise record. But defensively, we talked about Fletcher Cox briefly already, but he was dominant once again. Michael Kendricks, another great performance. You know,
I thought the whole D-line, you know, Benny Logan, Sed Thornton, they all had really strong games again. Barwin was, you know, held up his end of the bargain again. I mean, he's just been as steady as can be all season long. The one play that stood out to me with Fletcher Cox, and I put it in the piece, was the play in the first drive where he shadowed Griffin step for step, running outside the numbers and limited him. I think RG3 slid for like a 1 yard gain, but
he fell.
Yeah, whatever it was. Yeah, it was Fletcher Cox is just, he's playing at a whole new level. The last like month and a half, 2 months, he's been unbelievable.
How did Brandon Graham acquit himself as a starter?
I thought he did pretty well. I mean, the penalty, the roughing the passer. It was another one of those penalties we talked about, but I thought he did a pretty good job. You know, he's been steady all season long as well, so I wasn't surprised to see how he played.
So the Pro Bowl will be announced by the time that this podcast is available for download. We're filming this Tuesday morning. Guys, who do you expect? Who do you think? We've gone over the rankings. Yep. We're finishing the fan vote, and obviously that's going to be much different than players' vote, and the players' vote carries more weight anyway, but who do you think makes it? Who do you think gets shafted?
I think who I think will make it, I think it will be Connor Barwin.
Yep.
And Jason Peters.
Yep.
And I think that might be it.
If Cox doesn't make it, just throw it out. Like, just get rid of the game.
I think Cox deserves it.
Yeah.
But I can see,
if he doesn't make it, I'm done. I will never talk about the Pro Bowl ever.
How many times? We say this every year.
Yeah.
If he doesn't make it, I'm done.
Of course. Stupid thing.
It'll be the game that I won't talk about. Michael Kendricks is another guy who,
if he hadn't,
should make it. Yeah, but since he missed the games, and you know, I don't know if he's as talked about nationally. He probably won't. But Cox, I mean, he's j- just been playing at such a high level. And I think he is starting to get some of that love nationally.
Yes.
You know, you see, like, you know, the around the league guys at NFL.com talk about him, you know, PFF talking about him. So maybe some of the fans, it'll, you know, that'll resonate with them, but
it was getting more with the players at this point. He didn't make it based
and he
on,
should. And
based on fan votes.
I would imagine. I've said it before that I don't know, other than J.J. Watt, who plays, you know, a different position, I don't know that I've seen a defensive lineman be as dominant as Cox this season. So we'll see.
It's the numbers. That's the only thing is a lot of times it's, oh, who's got the most sacks, and understandably.
Anybody else in the well, Macklin's got a chance.
Macklin has a chance.
True. That's a good point. Absolutely.
Macklin's got a chance. You could say McCoy, based on reputation,
yep,
which factors into it. And he's still, is he fourth or fifth in the league in rushing?
That's a good point.
Sproles will be the returner. Yeah, he'll be one of the two returners.
Yeah, Sproles will be a returner.
Him and Hester. Yeah.
Yeah. Sproles should make it as a returner.
Could Maragos go in as the special teamer?
And he could, because of how well special teams and how nationally recognized they've been. It's every broadcast talks about, oh, all the non-offensive touchdowns, all 10 of them this season.
I mean, they could, you know,
they,
in theory, we could have like 5 or 6 guys.
Yeah, possible.
In theory.
So
I think it will. So I think it will be 3 because I think Sproles will make it.
Yes. Yeah. That's
a good call by BT.
That's very good. Thank you, producer Brian Thomas, behind the scenes.
16 weeks in, we finally get a good insight from Brian.
Yeah. Took long enough.
17 weeks, I guess.
So as we'll transition, anything else from the Washington game that stands out one way or another? You know, Mark Sanchez's performance. I guess we could start looking ahead a little bit to the Giants game, and Chip Kelly saying he's playing the starters. No question in his mind. He's not playing guys for the sake of playing time. And I can understand why media and fans would say, let's give the young guys some playing time because, you know, statistically, you're not making the playoffs. Outside of draft slot, you know, there's no impact from this matchup. Why not give those guys a chance? But
Chip, the conventional wisdom was, well, you didn't really need this game. Explain to us your thinking and your approach to this football.
Thank you, Howard.
Very simply, we're from Philadelphia and we fight.
Yeah.
That's it. If we're going to line up and kick off, you tell us what time to show up and we'll be there.
Beautiful drop there.
It's good. Good. Well played.
What's not discussed? Where did that – you just had that – you had that
ready
all season long. Waiting for the perfect moment.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you've been paying any attention to Chip Kelly, you knew that wasn't going to be the case.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the thing, too, is that, you know, while the media is not at practice, the fans obviously aren't at practice, the coaches see these guys every day. They see Marcus Smith. They see Jalen Watkins. They see Taylor Hart. They see a lot of these guys, the young rookies that haven't really seen the field, they see them every day in practice. They know what they can do. They know what they can't do. I don't think they necessarily need the extra evaluation period of a game. But look, I mean, it's the way to go. If you're going to preach for your guys, hey, look, it's a meritocracy, and how you practice every single day, you know, throughout the season is going to earn you playing time.
That would be thrown out the window.
That's the biggest
thing.
Can't
go away from
it. Yes. It's toxic if you're like,
right,
okay, you're better than this guy, but we got to give him a shot. Like,
yeah. Wow.
Come on.
It's the 100% correct way to go.
Or why would the veterans, knowing that things are
right
out of
right
hand, why would they fight anymore?
Right.
Why would they continue practice this week? They're like, you know what? All right, if we're done, I'm going to book that vacation. And
if that's the case, then you're not getting a fair evaluation on the other guys anyway. If, you know, if 6 of the 11 guys on defense are trying and 5 aren't, you know, then you're not getting a fair evaluation. So
right,
you just got to play, you know, got to play it to win.
Plus
play to win the game.
Freaking Giants.
Just beat them.
Yeah, with that 100% there too.
So they're coming on a 3-game win streak. Eagles have a 3-game losing streak.
And they're favored.
Are they
2.5 points, yeah. Yep.
They are favored. And I'm sure it's really for one player and one player only.
Yep.
Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah.
Had another one-handed catch on Sunday.
I mean, I think he's one of the 3 best receivers in the NFL, period.
He might. I mean, he might go to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
He probably will go to the Pro Bowl.
He probably will go to the Pro Bowl.
Those highlight reel catches,
right,
I mean, were some of the best sports highlights of the year, period.
Yeah, he might go to the Pro Bowl.
You know, is there any debate that he should be Rookie of the Year? Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Well, I thought it was going to be Cody Parkey, but
it was almost Cody Parkey.
All right,
guys.
I think it's going to do it for the final regular season edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast.
We'll be back next week for another one, right?
We'll do
final one.
Year in review, and we'll delve into the big questions that will be faced this offseason.
There we go. So we go into a new year.
Exactly. So
thanks for listening this year, guys.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and we'll be back next week.